Praise God. So we're going to continue a series this morning on soteriology, a long word, which remember means the study of salvation, the study of salvation. I had loads of great feedback about last week, about when we talked about forgiveness and people got lots out of it, so pray that happens again this morning. So just take notes, let it minister into your hearts. Amen. So we spent a whole number of weeks, didn't we, talking about Christology, talking about Jesus the Savior and who Jesus is. And now our heart is to understand, as we should, what a great salvation he has given us. Amen. So we don't neglect it, but we live in the good of what Jesus has won for us. We don't just want to just know about the cross or just know about Jesus. We want to know, what does that actually mean for my life, right? How does that actually change me? What does that mean for me today? Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? What Jesus won for us is amazing. Amen? Everyone agree? It is incredible. It's amazing. Amen? So last week's message on forgiveness, it kind of sets us up nicely for this week when we're going to talk about justification. Justification, another kind of bit of a long word again. Okay, but justification. So we're going to talk about this morning. Okay? And that's something that's really powerful, that is one of the direct fruit of God's forgiveness. So we've kind of laid out the background for forgiveness. We understand that we're forgiven by God, that we don't have to strive, that we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, that it's all because of the cross, it's not because of anything that we've done, it's all just recognizing, accepting what Jesus has done for us. Amen? Everyone agree? Right? And we are totally forgiven. Amen? We're totally washed clean and made new. One of the fruit of that is justification. And what that means is in forgiving us, God has justified or made us right in his sight. He has made us right in his sight. Amen? You know, when God looks at you now, he sees a righteous person. I just want to encourage you with this morning. When God looks at you, he sees a righteous person because of what he's done on the cross. If you've got sin you need to confess, yeah, deal with it and put that right. Maybe you don't need to strive over it. We talked about that last week, about the first minute. You can deal with that in a minute. Okay? God's going to welcome you back with open arms. Just get it sorted with God. But when God looks at you, he sees a righteous person. He's glad about that this morning. I'm glad about that. Right? He sees a righteous person. But not because of anything we've done. Again, this is not earned. Amen? So what is it to be justified? Well, the dictionary defines it as declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Declared or made righteous in the sight of God is what justification literally means. That we've been made righteous in God's sight. Amen. So by that, we mean that in God's sight, we are 100% blameless. This is great news this morning. We're 100% blameless. We're 100% sinless. We're 100% guiltless. And we're 100% innocent. That's amazing, that, right? Amen. We're 100% blameless. We're 100% sinless. We're 100% guiltless. And 100% innocent. That's what it means to be righteous in God's sight, to be justified. To be justified is to have perfect standing before God. I've heard this a number of times over the years, growing up in church, people break down the word justified and break it down like it's just as if I'd never sinned. Justified is just as if I'd never sinned. That's how you can break down the word justified. We have perfect standing before God. If you don't feel worthy this morning, I want to say to you, that's not God's intention for you. That's not God's plan for your life. Jesus paid a massive, massive price so that you could be righteous in his sight. Amen. Everyone agree? Amen. It's such great news. This is why the gospel is good news. Amen. In so many ways. We're 100% blameless, 100% sinners, 100% guiltless, and 100% innocent. Now, of course, and this would be kind of another topic in itself, God wants to produce holiness in us as well, and that's kind of an ongoing journey with God. So this doesn't mean to say, you know, the Apostle Paul, I'm digressing slightly, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about this. Of course, there has to be an outworking of this. God wants to change us. That's all true as well, okay? So it doesn't mean to say we can just do whatever we want, like, well, I'm 100% blameless, 100% innocent, I'm a sinner, I can do whatever I want, okay? That's missing the point. It still actually would be true as long as we confessed it, okay? But it's certainly missing the point, wouldn't it, right? Because God wants to change us. But we need to understand, and this is where it starts, the whole process of us changing, is understanding we're righteous in the sight of God. Amen? Because of what he's done on the cross. 100% blameless, sinless, guiltless, and 100% innocent. So the gospel reveals God's salvation and also God's righteousness. Paul writes this in Romans 1, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. Amen. So we receive our righteousness, our right standing with God, by believing and trusting in who he is. Remember, that's what faith is. You know, by trusting who he is and believing in him. So we receive our righteousness by faith. It's not something you can see, is it? It's not something that's tangible in one sense. It's like, oh, look, over there, there's my righteousness. Okay. But we receive it by faith. As we know that God exists by faith. We can't see God. No one is, I don't know if any of you have seen God. Probably not. We haven't seen God, but we know it to be true, right? We know it to be true because of what he's done in our lives. We feel his presence with us. We know the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We're receiving that by faith. And in the same way, we receive his righteousness. By believing and trusting in God, accepting that what he's done on the cross, and by forgiving us, as we talked last week, has made us completely holy and righteous in his sight. Amen. You know, and righteousness is a gift. It's like everything God gives is a gift, not earned. Romans 6, verse 17, Paul writes again, for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, so it's talking about Adam and how Adam Adam and Eve together kind of messed up, okay? But if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Amen? So this is what Jesus has done. And there's other scriptures that talk about Jesus being the second Adam. He came to, and we talked about this a lot, didn't we, around Easter, how the second Adam put right what the first Adam messed up. Amen? But through that, we've received the gift of righteousness. It is a free gift. Amen? It's right. It's a right standing with God. It's not deserved. It cannot be earned or achieved, but freely given. I'm so glad I don't have to earn it. I'm sure you're glad about that too, that you don't have to earn it. Where if we did have to earn it, where would we even start? There's a question, isn't there? Where would we even start with that? How would we ever meet God's standards anyway? You know, it's a free gift. And it can only be received through faith in Jesus. Amen. In Genesis 15, it talks about Abraham, and obviously that's the old covenant time, way before Jesus' death on the cross. But it says about, you can read it in Genesis 15, verse 6. I've got time to look at it this morning because, there's a lot there, okay? But it talks about Abraham had righteousness credited to him through faith, okay? Abraham had righteousness credited to him through faith, based on faith alone. So it's now true for all of us who are children of faith. So Abraham, he this is obviously pre-cross. But even him and kind of like the special relationship with God that he had, through faith, he accepted who God was and it was credited to him as righteousness. So in the same way, we receive it by faith. Amen. Romans 4, so again, the book of Romans, Paul says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Amen. David says the same thing, as King David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. I'm so glad that, and it's so freeing, isn't it? Knowing that everything that God gives, every spiritual blessing in Christ is another way Paul describes it in another scripture, that is not in any way earned through our own work or performance. That's so freeing, isn't it? It's you know, we talked last week, didn't we, about how things often are, in our society, we talk about things that are too good to be true. And again, it just comes up again, but it's not too good to be true. It's reality. It's truth. Amen? You don't have to earn it. If you've been brought up in any kind of Christian environment, maybe been brought up in a kind of religious or traditional Christian environment where you were taught that you have to work to earn God's salvation, or you have to you kind of have to somehow through your kind of good works, you know, kind of keep God on side. It's rubbish, right? Well, that's strong, but the Bible says it's rubbish. I'll paraphrase it slightly, but the Bible says it's rubbish. It's not truth. It's not down to our own work or performance. Amen? It's all because of who God is. All our part is accepting it and accepting that amazing free gift. Amen? I'm going to talk about something called imputance. It's another word again, which you probably don't hear outside of church, okay? But we're going to talk about what it is. Okay, imputed righteousness. I've never heard that before. Imputed righteousness, okay? Okay. But all that means, it's something that's been credited to us. Okay, it's just a theological term. Okay, but it's just something that means the righteousness has been credited to us. According to Wikipedia, which is always right, of course. No, but it's right. In this context, I know you can't always believe Wikipedia, but what they've written here is good, or what someone has written here is good. It says this: imputed righteousness is a concept in Christian theology proposing that the righteousness of Christ is imputed or credited to believers. That is, as if it were theirs through faith. It is on the basis of Jesus' righteousness that God accepts as humans. This acceptance is also referred to as justification. Okay. So us being justified is a free gift. It's been imputed to us or given to us or credited to us. Amen? That it's ours through faith. Amen. Praise God. So God's righteousness is credited, is not earned or achieved. It's added to our account without us doing anything to qualify it or to earn it. Praise God for that. I'm so glad. In fact, our best efforts to be righteous with a righteousness that could somehow please God are only ever at best would be filthy rags. That's what Scripture says. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says it. All of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Now, I said last week about being good. If you asked 8 billion people on the planet what it means to be a good person, you'd get 8 billion different opinions. And if you asked 8 billion people on the planet what it means to be righteous in God's sight, again, you get 8 billion different opinions. Where would you even start in that conversation? But even to start with, how do I make myself acceptable to a perfect and holy God? Well, the great news is you don't have to try. Even if we could try and do righteous acts, they'd be like filthy rags compared to God. They would not be things that God would even accept. It's only because of the sacrifice of his son and what has been won through that. Amen? Praise God. You all still with me? Excellent. Great stuff. Let's keep going. So God imputes or credits to us the righteousness of his son because our sin was imputed or credited to him. So our justification and right standing are the fruit of a divine exchange. We often, as a church, on lots of churches, talk about the divine exchange of the cross. Jesus took, and his forgiveness last week would be an example of that. Jesus took our sin and he put that upon himself and then has credited us with forgiveness. And this is true with righteousness as well. Amen. So our sin has all been imputed or put upon Jesus, and he did that, of course, willingly. Our sin was put upon him. We're now forgiven, and we're now made righteous in his sight. We're now justified. Praise God. A good visual example of this would be like if you think about two piggy banks, and with one is ours. I haven't got this on screen, but do you think about this in your mind? Think about this as our kind of piggy bank. Does everyone know what piggy banks are? Because not everyone, they use cash so much these days, don't we? One day people will not know what this stuff is. Strange, isn't it? You feel yourself starting to get old. I've had kind of down this road like with my kids, and these phrases that you say, and you think, someone's been like a stuck record, and that was a record. And all those kind of things. Elisa's really into records now, because they kind of, if you know about what's going on in pop culture, vinyl's really making a comeback now. I think they sell more records than CDs now, weirdly. So anyway, some of these things, the analogies don't always stay, do they? Because things change over time. But cash, I remember cash. We do still use it, don't we, from time to time. Anyway, so a good visual example. It's two piggy banks. There's one ours and one's Jesus'. So God's took what is in ours, okay? I might think, whoa, that's thieving. No, but God's taken what is in ours and he's put it in his, okay? What little we had, or like 5 10p's, let's say, in a piggy bank, Jesus has taken that and put it in his piggy bank, and he's taken what was in his piggy bank and filled ours with it. And that's amazing. That's what he's done. Filled it with 50-pound notes. Praise God. you know, far beyond what we've given in exchange. That's the principle of divine exchange. That makes sense. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Again, Paul writes, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the principle of divine exchange. Praise God. You know, God's gift of righteousness goes against a normal belief that we have in society that something is given because of something done or a law kept. You know, it's the principle of work, isn't it? And, you know, I don't know whether you enjoy working or not, what your job's like. But that is the principle of work, isn't it? And in exchange for your time, you're given an exchange of money. Maybe it's not as much as you deserve, and those can be all kind of different conversations. Okay, maybe. Okay, but that's the principle of work, isn't it? For the employer, they pay you to do something they either don't want to do or they can't do. They need someone to do something because it's going to take up some time. And in exchange for your time, then you're given money in exchange. That's a principle of working, isn't it? Right? But it's got to be earned, isn't it? And if you've got an amazing job where people are just giving, whether your employer is just giving you money and you don't have to do anything, well, great. I don't know if anyone has that. I don't know. Great. What an amazing job if you've got that, right? But the principle is you have to earn it, right? But God does not like that. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be earned. Amen? Now, under the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, temporary righteousness was gained through keeping the law or our own performance. But God replaced that under the New Covenant with a new right standing which was based completely on his son Jesus and his performance. Amen? Are you glad about that? Praise God. Not in any way earned. Praise God. We're going to look at six kind of key verses that reveal God's righteousness apart from the law. Now, we're no longer under the law. Hopefully, you'll understand this. We're under grace, the new covenant. Under grace, God's unmerited favor. So, six kind of key verses. Galatians 2, verse 15 to 16. Paul writes this, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Remember, the whole principle of the law in the Old Testament, remember, was always to point towards Jesus. That's the whole purpose of it. Galatians 4:4-5, Paul writes again, "When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Praise God. To redeem us from the law. Matthew 5, verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, to fulfill them." He was the very fulfillment of this brand new covenant. The only person who can actually meet the standards. This was kind of like the irony that we have to understand, or maybe not irony, but just the reality of the fulfillment, is that the only person who could fulfill the standards of the law, of the Old Testament law, was Jesus himself, right? You couldn't, only a perfect person could fully follow the law. Only someone who was perfect in every single way could truly follow kind of the heart and letter of the law. And that was Jesus himself. And that's why he came to fulfill the law. It had to be someone perfect. Amen. Romans 10 verse 4. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Couple more scriptures on that. Galatians 3, verse 24. "So the law was our guardian until Christ came so that we could be justified by faith." And Galatians 2, verse 21, again, Paul writes, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Now, what Paul was dealing with here, remember, Paul was a Jew himself and was and had been a very religious Jew. He'd been one of the Pharisees himself and been persecuting Christians before he found Christ. You know, and what was happening is the Jews, as they were becoming, obviously they were still cultural Jews, but as they were becoming Christians, okay, then some of them were like, "Yeah, but we still need to get circumcised, and we still need to follow this bits of the law, and we still need to sacrifice animals," and because they weren't get fully appreciating or having a full revelation of what Jesus had won for them. And the Old Testament law had been right for the time. It was God's covenant, but that God replaced it with a brand new covenant. And this is what Paul was dealing with here. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You can't get righteousness through it. So he was challenging that way of thinking. saying, no, this is not right. You're not understanding what Jesus has done for you. You can't ever win it from the law as if you could ever meet God's standards anyway. If Christ would have died for nothing if that was true. You could be righteous under the old covenant. Does that make sense? Amen? Praise God. Romans 3, verse 21 to 26. There's lots of scriptures this morning. Romans 3, verse 21 to 26 says, again, Paul's got a lot to say on this subject. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Amen. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all, that's all of us, are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen? It's all because of the cross. You know, the wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, if we've earned anything, if we've earned, going back to the analogy about the workplace, if we've earned anything, all we earned was death and hell. That's the reality of what Scripture says, right? Yeah. Because we could not possibly meet God's standards. But God, in his amazing justice and the way he imputed justice and the way he carried out justice, was for all of that wrath of God, because, you know, sin and a holy God cannot mix, for that to be poured out on his son, Jesus. So that he took all our unrighteousness upon him, so that we could be righteous. Praise God. That's so good. So good news. Amen. Now, righteousness is given. We continually have to protect it in our thinking, because it goes against everything we're taught in a performance-driven world. You know, where it's all about performing, isn't it? And you know, again, going back to the workplace, and you've got to perform, and you've got to be reasonably good at your job, otherwise you're going to be out on your ear, right? And that's a reality of how things work. But God just does not work in that way at all. His kingdom works in a totally different way to how our world sees performance. Amen. Remember, it's all about Jesus and his performance and what he's done for us. Amen. You know, a real big thing to think about is do the righteous, and we are called to do righteous things. We are called to do good works. We're created to do good works. Ephesians 2, verse 9 and 10 says that. But do those righteous, in inverted commas, those righteous things, do they make us righteous? Well, I would say no. And they're not making us righteous. We should do good works, absolutely. We were created by God, and we're created for God. We're created by God to do good works for him. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says that. Okay, but those righteous things, even that we do, are still not making us righteous. That makes sense, right? It's all because of Jesus. If righteousness is something credited to me and to you, and a position that's given by God, then righteous deeds don't make us righteous. Amen? You know, we should be doing righteous deeds because we are righteous, not to become righteous. This is a real fundamental change in our thinking. Remember, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to understand how God works, what Scripture says. Amen. We don't do good things to try and become righteous. We do good works for God because we are righteous. Amen. Does that make sense? Yeah. Praise God. You know, we should live from what God has made us to be. Praise God. So God wants us to live knowing that we have been justified. Amen. God wants us to live in freedom. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to walk around knowing that we've been justified in his sight, that we're free from condemnation, and we can enjoy an unbroken fellowship with him. You know, if in your life you're feeling condemned, I want to say to you this morning that, again, that's not God's plan for you. If you're feeling condemned about stuff going on in your life or what's going on in your past, God does not want you to be condemned. Romans 8 makes it clear there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. If we're feeling condemned, we're not fully understanding what Jesus has done on the cross for us, and God wants you to understand that. Amen. His five different benefits of our justification. I mean, I've got time to look at all the scriptures, so if you're making notes, just write the scriptures down. Five major benefits of our justification. One, we can have confidence before God. We can approach God with confidence. And then Hebrews 4:16 talks about that. I'm glad you can approach him with confidence. We don't have to come with fear. We don't have to come with trembling. Of course, we should fear God in the right sense, you know, in a respectful sense of who He is. Yes, but we don't literally come with, you know, anxiety and stress. Oh no, is God going to accept me today? You know, and things like used to happen in the Old Testament where, you know, some people would literally die in the presence of God, even some of the priests, because it was just such a kind of holy place. But we can have complete confidence that we can approach God in our prayer life, in our relationship with Him. Hebrews 4:16. Second benefit of justification, that we have answered prayer. That God answers our prayers. You can read about that in Psalm 34:17 or Proverbs 15:29 and James 5:16. And the prayer of a righteous person avails much. A righteous in the sight of God. That's why our prayer avails. Amen. Answer prayer. So that was Psalm 34:17, Proverbs 15:29, James 5:16. Another benefit, there is therefore no condemnation. We've talked about that in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. We have confidence. Our prayers will be answered. There is no condemnation. We can have the expectation of blessing from God, Proverbs 3, verse 33. And we can have unbroken fellowship. This is God's purpose in justifying us. Amen. Is the major benefit and why God did it. We have confidence before Him. Our prayers will be answered. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We can have the expectation of blessing. But ultimately, God wanted fellowship. Fellowship with His creation. Fellowship with the pinnacle of His creation, which was the human race. Amen? So the key point of all this is remember that we are made right before God by faith and by faith alone. Justification comes through faith alone. It's not faith plus something else. Okay? It's not faith in anything that we can add or do. It's purely faith alone. It's about what He has done, not what we have done. Amen? And I really believe this is the truth that the devil tries to suppress in the theology of the church and in individuals' beliefs, to bring them out of rest into a place of striving. Striving, like, oh, if only I just do this, God will then accept me. If I then do this, God will then love me. If I only just do this, then God will possibly forgive me. It's rubbish. Amen? You know, this is why Jesus had a major issue with people who are religious. Because all they were doing is tying people up in knots. Rather than them just getting free access to God, which is the purpose of what Jesus came, free access to the Father, they were just tying people in knots, right? And they were actually making it harder for people to come to God. Right, rather than easier. Amen? So good works are the result of our salvation, not the reason for it. We're created for, not created by. Okay, we're not created by those good works, not created to be saved by those good works, but we are created to do good works, but they don't make us righteous. Amen? You know, the language of the New Covenant or the New Testament is it's done, done, done. Now, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, it was basically do, do, do. You need to do this, wasn't it? They had the whole list of festivals, and of course it was all instituted by God, that's right. But it was all to point towards Jesus. And the Old Testament was basically do, 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 wasn't it? You do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this. But the language of the New Covenant, New Testament, is basically it's done, and it's done. When Jesus on the cross said it's finished, it's done. It's over. Amen. There's a brand new covenant. Amen. Praise God. And just as all of us were disqualified and made unrighteous by the one man, Adam, so all are now justified and made righteous by the one man, Jesus. He's rectified all the mistakes of humans, Adam, and all the subsequent descendants. Jesus put it right once and for all. Praise God. Romans 5:18. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Praise God. And just to kind of bring this to a close, it's really, really important to understand, to say what I'm about to say. You know, the world doesn't always have a great opinion of Christians. And one of the reasons for that, I know they're all twisted, and you know, Satan's deceived them and all those kind of things, and all that's true. Okay. But one of the reasons that the world has an issue with Christians is they think that we're self-righteous. That's true, isn't it? This has been my experience and what I've observed and the conversation with people. Is often people think that as Christians we are holier than thou. We look down on people. We're like, you know, we're much better than you, and that we're self-righteous. So it's really, really important for us to understand that we're not in any way claiming, we have the righteousness of God, but we're not in any way claiming to be self-righteous. Does that make sense? Amen? We're not claiming to be self-righteous. We're not saying we're even better than the world in that sense. We just have the freedom that Jesus has given us. Amen? We said about this last week, we have to be careful not to judge the world, because if we'd be doing exactly the same thing if we hadn't accepted, found Jesus, right? We'd be exactly the same way, right? So of course there are things in the world we want to be different, and we should pray for that, absolutely, right? But we're not coming from a place of being self-righteous. It's really important. And if you have conversations with non-Christians about that, and obviously you may not be able to say all the stuff I've said today, because they'll be like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay? Because it's quite in-depth stuff. And quite complex stuff, and it needs to be a revelation from God, right? But to make the point, we're not coming from a place of being self-righteous. We're not saying we're better. We're saying it's because of we know someone who is better, right? We know Jesus. We know what Jesus has done for us. We know that he's forgiven us. We know that he's made us whole. We have this incredible covenant with God because of what Jesus did on the cross, that he won through his shed blood. Amen? We are a people who are made righteous by God, not a self-righteous people. Amen? So when we receive that gift of salvation, we also receive the gift of righteousness. We are given the right to stand before God completely blameless, completely innocent, completely pure and holy in his sight. And that's good news this morning. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Lord, Jesus, where would we be without your righteousness? Lord, where would we be without the new covenant? Lord God, where would we be, Lord, without your shed blood for us and what that sealed that new covenant and new testament that we have with you? Lord, we're just in awe of what you've done for us. Lord, that free gift. Lord, all those free gifts are gifts of love and grace, Lord, but as we specifically focus on this morning, the gift of righteousness. Lord, it's just amazing, Lord, that we have right standing with you. Lord, that we are righteous in your sight. Lord, I pray, Lord, just right now, Lord, you just give us an even deeper revelation of what it means, Lord, to be righteous in your sight, to be holy in your sight, Lord, to be made new in your sight. Lord, thank you. We have right standing with you. We have been justified. It's just as if we'd never sinned. We're totally justified in your sight. Lord, and all we've done is accept the reality of what you've done for us, and we accept it by faith and faith alone. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to try and earn your acceptance, earn your justification, earn your righteousness. It's all because of what you have done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that incredible divine exchange of the cross. All our rubbish, all our filthiness, all our sin. Lord, you took upon yourself an incredible divine exchange. Lord, like that piggy bank analogy, you took that little that we had and that rubbish that we had in a piggy bank, and Lord, and you just filled it, Lord, with incredibly good things. Lord, that incredible divine exchange of the cross. We're so thankful, we're so grateful. Praise you, Jesus. May we walk in a revelation, Lord, of what you have done for us. Praise you, God. I was going to pray a second prayer as well, and just to give an opportunity for anyone this morning who doesn't yet know God. Maybe you've never invited God into your life, or maybe you've just gone off track in your walk with God. You know, and you can know what it is this morning to be totally justified by God. It's a free gift. It's a gift that God is desperate to give to you, and all you have to do is accept it and say, "Yeah, I want that." You can know what it is to be righteous in His sight. You can know what it is to be forgiven and made right. You can access God. You can have relationship with God, unbroken fellowship with Him. I'm going to pray this prayer in a second. If that's you this morning, you want to get things right with God, or you've never ever accepted God into your life, just I encourage you to pray this prayer. Mean it with all of your heart. God knows what you're praying from your heart, and God will come into your life this morning. Or you can do business and get things straight with God this morning. Let's all pray this together. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for me. For that amazing divine exchange. For taking all my rubbish and replacing it with your righteousness. I invite you now into my life. I want you to change me, to make me new. I want the promise of eternal life. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep your eyes closed for a second. If you've prayed that prayer and you've never ever prayed a prayer like that before, you're like, I need that in my life. I need God in my life. You're crying out to him this morning. And he wants you to know what it is to be justified, forgiven, made whole, restored, redeemed, made new. If you've prayed that prayer, never prayed a prayer like that before, you're doing business with God and getting back on track with him, just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I've prayed that this morning, because we're not going to make you come down the front or anything else. We'd just love just to chat and pray with you after. Is anyone this morning? Don't miss your opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Praise you, Jesus. You're amazing. An amazing, amazing Savior. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for taking our rubbish and making us righteous. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.